The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O God.
Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you, listen, love your enemies, do what is good, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Be seated. Our Catholic siblings have documented and mythologized the lives and works of the saints for the past 2,000 years. And throughout the ages, they have canonized men and women of faith for every occasion and experience. You know the famous ones: Saint Anthony, the patron saint of lost things; Saint Francis, the patron saint of animals; Saint Teresa of Calcutta, the patron saint of charity. And there are lesser known saints as well. Saint Drogo, for example, the patron saint of unattractive people; Saint Fiacre, the patron saint of people with venereal disease. There are saints for soldiers, for doctors, for teachers, saints for love, romantic and friendship, saints for loneliness and despair, saints for courage, saints for travel. And while we as Protestants do not pray to these saints by name to intervene on our behalf, we are nonetheless connected to them. Not as individuals, for I don't think any of us have ever met these saints, even those who have died within our lifetime, but we are connected to them by experience. And our tradition combines the commemoration with these canonized saints with the memory of those who we have known and lost, a day our Catholic friends call All Saints Day. It's All Souls Day, excuse me. For by virtue of Martin Luther's teachings, we believe in a sainthood of all believers, so that we may honor our connections to their memories, as well as together with the patron saints of all time. The friends and family lost to us, though gone from this earthly kingdom, remain connected to us by our memories and our experiences with them, the ways in which they touched our lives, both in joy and in pain. You've heard me preach on community and connectedness before, mostly through the timeless network of the presence of the Holy Spirit within us, also through our mutual connectedness to creation, and by prayer, our connectedness to suffering and with our Creator. This morning, I would like to talk about our connectedness to one another throughout all time through experiences. For no matter what comes with the changing of the times, with politics or cultural shifts, the human condition remains frustratingly the same. When we consider the saints, those canonized and all other souls, we are invited to connect to their experience of life, and it is not always pretty. Even among the greatest of saints, there are stories of sin and suffering. Last week, we talked a little bit about Martin Luther, and though we honor him as both a great figure of history and of faith, he was not a perfect man, and he did a great deal of harm, even with the best of intentions. And the story of the Reformation was wrought with bloodshed and ambition, alongside liberation and expansiveness of faith. And though we today honor the lives of our loved ones lost to us, we likely also have scars from those relationships as well. Our little community here at Christ Lutheran, after our recent vote to dissolve after 131 years of ministry in Radford, has entered into a time of grief and mourning, which we also lift up to God and to one another. We do not all come into community today needing the same thing. Some of us look for hope, hope that we will one day be reunited with those that we have lost, hope that the future of Christ Lutheran in Radford will yield good fruit and be a place of sanctuary for people experiencing homelessness. Some of us came here to grieve, needing a space of lamentation to weep for loss. Some of us came in search of healing from our pain, and some came because it was Sunday, and it's time to worship and fellowship with our friends in the faith to be nourished for another week. We are no different from the crowd that Jesus spoke to on this fateful day, each needing something we believe only Jesus can provide. And Jesus delivers. Among the suffering, Jesus offers healing. Among the poor, both in spirit and physical need, Jesus offers blessing. And for those seeking knowledge, Jesus offers truth. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on the account of the Son of Man. Sometimes when trying to decipher Jesus' words in a way that we might relate to, we immediately start categorizing these experiences. Poor, hungry, those who weep, people who are hated, as certain categories of people. The poor being those who experience extreme poverty. Hungry is those at risk of starvation. Those who weep, people who are caught in perpetual trap of loss. People who are hated, marginalized people, always trapped on the outskirts of privilege. And yes, Jesus is talking to such people and offering them comfort. But if instead of thinking of individuals or groups of people, we think of these conditions as experiences, we can start to see how Jesus is speaking to all of us, for we have all known some form of these sufferings. Have any of us truly experienced extreme poverty? Probably not. But we have all been poor in spirit. We've been depressed. We've been lonely. We've all known temporary hunger. I like having services at 10 a.m. because we've all had time to eat breakfast, even though I do sometimes hear rumbling tummies out there. But perhaps we've never truly been afraid of starvation. But we've known hunger for other things that seem unattainable. Hunger for intimacy. Hunger for knowledge. Hunger for consolation. We've known the feeling of longing for something that we need and have been so afraid of not getting it, we are pushed to acts of desperation. Everyone experiences loss, and we do not live in a culture which encourages public lamentation or bereavement, so we choke it down and hold our heads up, even when we are so sad that it is hard to function. And we have all known the experience of being excluded. Most of us at some time in our life have been gossiped or lied about or lied to and felt helpless to defend ourselves or to establish our own worth. And knowing this feeling long enough, we start to believe the lies and doubt our own worth. The saints whom we lament, they too experienced all of these things. And they too left scars on people that they left behind. St. Thomas Aquinas, for instance, spent most of his life in a basement library. Why? He was hiding from his father and his big brothers. Are the lives of the saints any less valued because they were not the shining example of Christ's perfection at all times? Their legacy, our memory of their lives and the experience we shared with them, is not defined by their shortcomings, but by their blessedness to all those who they touched in sickness and in health. The second half of his sermons, the woes. Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what the ancestors did to the false prophets. He follows these woes with instructions on how to live a blessed life, returning no one evil for evil, and yet another reminder to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. With this instruction, we can infer that these woes were not curses so much as a challenge to all of us to think on all of our experiences and live differently. We all have moments of contentment and even abundance, abundance in physical goods and in spiritual ones, and we are challenged, like the saints of old, to share with those who are struggling. For rest assured, moments of abundance are passing. We are bound together through the Spirit, through creation, through suffering, and with need. Sarah Henrich writes, "There is a kind of divide between the blessed and the woeful. It is, however, precisely not the divide that our world would create between winners and losers, success and unsuccess, elites and non-elites, and I'll add saints and sinners. The blessed are those who have caught at least a glimpse of God's future and trust that it is for them. The blessed may be poor or needy, even weeping in life by the standards we humans have in our very bones, but they are blessed in both trust in God and God's future in their hope for justice." Regarding this holy day, we are called to remember saints who have gathered around Jesus in every time and place, people with needs and hopes, people who caught at least a glimpse of a world more fully God-shaped than the ones that we lived in. We come from a people and from an individual persons to whom we owe much of, to whom we owe much of who we are and much of who we long to be. Our history and our imagination of God's reign look back to the promises of God as Jesus spoke them on a plain long ago. Our history and imagination look back to our more recent forebears who carried the faith, who taught it to us. These folk gone before remain vital in the communion of God's people that we celebrate at All Saints. In the words of our closing hymn for today, we are to pray, "O God, our speck of life is spanned by your infinity. Our tick of time on earth is caught in eternity. While suns and stars spend endlessly through depths of cosmic space, while eons roll and ages pass, you hold us in your grace. We thank you, God, for a kindling faith that lights our transient years, illuminating our pilgrimage through midst of doubt and fear, for hope that sees a life beyond the swiftly passing days, for love both human and divine that lifts our hearts to praise. May we all hold the memory of the saints that we have lost in our hearts and let their experiences guide us in our path through life and into the future, that all the world may be touched by your grace, through the communion of all souls and sinners bound by blessedness and woefulness, by joyfulness and lamentation, and all called to love and remember you and your holy name. Amen."